In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. George Will pointed out that it seems like Americans today are supposed to celebrate Christmas as if we've forgotten what it's all about. If that's true, it's no wonder that Christmas has become so stressful for so many people. I think a lot of people in the shopping malls today or going about the other activities in preparation for Christmas might agree with the sentiment of P.G. Woodhouse when he wrote, "Christmas has us firmly by the throat again." As we spend these 4 weeks looking at the promises found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, we are refusing to forget what Christmas is all about. We are choosing to remember the reason that so many people are scurrying around so feverishly this time of year. And that can help ground us. And it can help keep us from scurrying around quite so feverishly as the rest of the world. So we can return to a simpler celebration of Christmas, kind of the way it used to be. In our reading from Isaiah today, we read of the desert blooming with life as it rejoices in the Lord. We read of the eyes of the blind being opened and the ears of the deaf hearing. We read of the lame leaping and the mute singing. We read of a path leading the righteous to the Lord, a path so clear that we can't get lost on our way. But there in the middle of the chapter, we read, "Say to those with fearful hearts, do not fear. Be strong. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, and with divine retribution, he will come to you." Vengeance and divine retribution, those two words sound kind of out of place in this chapter. The restoration of health to the infirm and the blooming desert sound kind of like the opposite of vengeance and divine retribution. I don't know about you, but when I think of vengeance, I imagine a scene something like Dresden after the firebombings of World War II. That's what vengeance conjures up in my mind. Or when I think of divine retribution, it sounds like something that we would read of in the book of Revelation, like the four horsemen of the apocalypse coming to bring destruction to the people of the world. Yet somehow, divine vengeance and retribution bring healing to the infirm and flowers to the deserts. I think John the Baptist may have had a similar line of thought to my own. In last week's reading from the Gospel, you might remember that John the Baptist said that Jesus was coming with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. He said Jesus was coming with his winnowing fork in his hand to clear the threshing floor and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. That sounds like vengeance and divine retribution. And that's what John was looking for when he was proclaiming the coming of Jesus. And he did so with great force and great faith. And everybody knew that John was expecting Jesus to do great things. And then in this week's gospel reading, it sounds like John the Baptist's faith is wavering a little bit. He sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one we've been looking for? Are you really the one? Or should we wait for someone else? Jesus, what's up with what you're doing? I don't understand it. It doesn't look like divine vengeance and retribution to me. It doesn't look like a winnowing fork clearing a threshing floor." It might be easy to understand John the Baptist's question when we consider his situation. He'd been arrested by Herod and thrown into prison. And at that point, his fate was uncertain. Vengeance and divine retribution sounded pretty good. They brought a lot of comfort to John the Baptist. Fire from heaven consuming Herod is kind of what he wanted at that moment. But then John heard that Jesus was saying things like, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That wasn't the message that John the Baptist expected to hear. Jesus' response to John's disciples was to point back to the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Jesus told the disciples of the Baptist to go back and report to John what you have heard and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And good news is proclaimed to the poor. And blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. That sounds a lot like what we read in the book of the prophet Isaiah today. The blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, the poor receiving good news. What if that's part of what vengeance and divine retribution really look like? What if vengeance and divine retribution do bring healing to the sick and blossoms to the desert? Well, that might mean that the enemies Jesus came to destroy are different from the enemies that we so often imagine. Last week was the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And one of our responses to the war with Japan was to send Japanese Americans to internment camps. We now recognize that they weren't the real enemy. They weren't the people we were fighting. But what if the real enemy wasn't even the people of the nation of Japan? What if the real enemy was violence and aggression? If that's the case, then it's going to take God's vengeance and retribution to defeat violence and aggression. We can't do it on our own. We need Him to do it. He is the only one who can eliminate those enemies. Today, our nation is polarized by various issues. The Black Lives Matter movement was countered with the Blue Lives Matter movement. And you know what? Both sides are right. Both lives matter. Both sides have legitimate concerns. But what if the two sides aren't really adversaries? What if the true adversaries of both sides are injustice and oppression and fear? If that's the case, then it will take the power of God to fight those adversaries. It will take divine vengeance and retribution to rid the world of injustice and oppression and fear. All of this doesn't mean that divine vengeance and retribution will not have consequences for humans. Because Herod didn't want to give up injustice and oppression, he would eventually face the consequences of divine retribution. If we don't want the poor to hear good news or the sick to be healed, if we don't want the oppressed to be set free, then there can't be a place for us in the age to come when the desert blooms. But if we truly want the kingdom of God, if we truly want to see good news come to the poor and oppressed, if we truly want healing to come to the infirm, then God's vengeance and retribution can bring healing to us, as He fights the true enemies, the things that deface and disfigure humanity and all of creation. So say to those with fearful hearts, "Be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, and He will save you." That's another part of what we celebrate at Christmas. Vengeance and divine retribution came in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem. The world didn't recognize it at the moment, but the angels did. They understood that this was the way that God would defeat the enemies of his people. He was clearing his threshing floor of the chaff of violence and aggression, the chaff of injustice, oppression, and fear, the chaff of jealousy and greed and rage. And when that happened, as we read through the Gospels, we see what happened. The blind received their sight. The lame walked. Those with leprosy were cleansed. The deaf heard. The dead were raised. And the good news was proclaimed to the poor. Of course, we know that this has not yet been fully realized. There are still people in our world suffering from infirmities. There are still those who are oppressed and poor. The deserts remain barren lands. But part of the promise that we remember during Advent is the promise that Christ will come again. And when he returns with vengeance and divine retribution, he will finally complete the vision outlined in the book of the prophet Isaiah. The prophecies of Isaiah will be fully realized as the deserts spring forth with blossoms, as every infirmity is cast aside and the people of God are led on a path toward him. So if you're troubled by what you see in the world today, don't be afraid. Your God will come and he will save you. He will come to save you from his enemies. If you're suffering from an illness, do not be afraid. Your God will come and you will leap for joy, because the promise of God is true. If you feel oppressed, do not be afraid. God is coming and he will set you free from the power of his enemies. He will lead you in the way to his kingdom, and you will see the deserts break forth in bloom, and all of creation will sing for his glory. I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.